So and so is a businessman. His Hajj was for business. He says, my name came. And when my name came, again the announcement came, Yuktab Tajiran. His Hajj was for business. He says, I got a shock. And immediately I blurted out, I didn't come for business, I am not even a businessman. He says, the caller from the Arsh of Allah addressed me and said, have you forgotten that piece of gold and jewelry which you carried with you to sell in the bazaars of Makkah? Because of that piece of gold and jewelry which you went to Makkah with, your Hajj has not been counted as Hajj, your Hajj has been counted as business. Our women folk especially, this has become a culture, it's come in vogue now. Change the old sets into new sets, redesign the bangles, sell it to the jewelers in Makkah. This journey is not for that and that place is not for that. These are things which can make khalal, which can interfere with our ikhlas and our sincerity. As a result of which, Allah protect us, the entire amal will be rejected. One person was reading Surah Taha on the journey for Hajj. He dozed off with the Quran in front of him. The vision comes in front of him. His whole Surah Taha is brought. Under each letter of Surah Taha is written the reward, 10 reward, 10 reward, 10 reward, 10 reward. All of a sudden, he comes to a few verses where it is blank. No reward is written. He asks the Malaika of Allah, why is it blank? They say, not only no reward, this will be used against you. He says, why? What happened? They said, have you forgotten while you were reading the surah of the Quran, you became aware of someone walking outside your tent. And when you became aware of that person, you increased the tone of the recitation of Quran. To accommodate that person, there your recitation was no longer for Allah. There your recitation was to impress that person. That is why this will now be used against you. One person had made Hajj 60 years walking Hajj. How difficult it is to go for walking Hajj 60 years. One night he's sleeping, his elderly mother calls him, requests him to bring a cup of water. He finds it difficult to get up from his bed to carry out the request of his mother. Then he makes muhasaba of himself, looks in his heart to walk several hundred kilometers 60 years in a row. You found that easy to fetch a cup of water for your mother, you are finding it difficult. What is the reason for that? Then he realized he had become used to the praise that he was receiving from people. People were telling him, mashallah, shabash, this year also you're going. Next year also you're going to go. You are such a pious person. All those praises had made it easy for him to walk to Baytullah. In the dead of the night in his house, there's no one to make shabash and mashallah if you fetch a cup of water for your mother. Really, my respected brothers, there's no time to go into detail. But this muzakara is very, very essential and important. All the time, we have to be checking what our intention is, what the motivation is. And we should be making dua to Allah Ta'ala for ikhlas and sincerity. Because this is a very, very delicate and an important masala. Also, my respected brothers, ulama explained that before proceeding for Hajj, we have to ensure that the wealth which we are proceeding with is halal wealth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا خَرَجَ الرَّجُلُ حَاجًّا بِنَفَقَةٍ طَيِّبًا وَوَضَعَ رِجْلَهُ فِي الْغِرْزِ فَنَادَى لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ نَادَاهُ مُنَادٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ زَادُكَ حَلَال وَرَاحِلَتُكَ حَلَال وَحَجُّكَ مَبْرُورٌ. The crux of the hadith, when a person proceeds with halal earnings, and he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, the caller from the heavens calls out, your Labbaik is accepted. Your coming is Mubarak, your Hajj is accepted. Why? Your means are halal. On the other hand, a person proceeds with haram earnings. And he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Nadahu Munadim Minas Sama, La Labbaik Wala Sadeik. زادك حرام ونفقتك حرام وحجك مأزور غير مبرور. If it is haram earnings, if he did someone down, if he usurped the rights of someone. Once one kafla was going for Hajj, this person passed away. They buried him. One person forgot his axe in the qabr. When they went back and they dug up the grave, they found that the axe had gone through the neck of this person in his qabr. They left him like that. When they went back to their town, they made inquiries. They found out that this person had procured an investment from someone, took money from someone with the intention of doing that person down, and with that same money went for Hajj. Hukukul ibad, the rights of our fellow human beings, our business dealings, our financial dealings, etc. To correct this before proceeding for Baytullah is very, very important. In one hadith it comes, the crux of which Huzaifa radiallahu narrates, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah says, that if you enter my house, and there is some haq of someone else that you have usurped, then fulfill that before entering my house. Because as long as you have eaten up the haq of someone else and you enter my house, for as long as you are standing in front of me, my lanat and my curses will be coming upon you. We find it easy to make nafil hajj upon nafil hajj, nafil umrah upon nafil umrah. But to stay away from haram, to stay away from eating up the rights of others, this we find difficult. Ulama say, tarku daniq, mimma yakrahuhu Allah, ahab ilayya min khamsi miyati hajja. To stay away from one danik, one penny of haram. To stay away from one penny of haram is more virtuous in my eyes than 500 nafil hajj. So important it is to ensure that our earnings are halal. Otherwise this will become an obstacle to the acceptance of our amal. This farz hajj is such a delicate thing that if you look at all the other amal of deen, whether it is salah, whether it is zakat, whether it is fasting, there's 30 rozas. If you didn't keep the first farz one correctly, you got another 29. And if you didn't keep it correctly this year and you are alive next year, you got a chance. Namaz also, if you didn't make fajr correctly, you got zohar. If you didn't make zohar correctly, you got asr. If in the first two rakats of asr, your attention was not there, you still got the next two rakats. But when it comes to hajj, hajj is farz once in the lifetime. There's no second farz hajj. And what is the difference between farz and nafil? Ulama say if every day from now till Qiyamah had to become the day of Arafat, and every day from now till Qiyamah you had to proceed for nafil hajj, all that put together will not be equal to your one farz hajj. So careful we have to be that we take cognizance of these things. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-hajjul mabrur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Hajj mabrur, there is no other return for it but jannat. But what is hajj mabrur? One occasion sahaba asked him, ma birrul hajj? Ya Rasulullah, what does hajj mabrur mean? What is the bir of hajj? Hajjul mabrur. What would we expect? That hajj which you made a lot of ibadat, that hajj which you kept a lot of roza, that hajj which you made a lot of tawaf. But what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, husnul khuluq. Wa fi riwaya qala it'amu at'am wa ifsha'u salam. Wa fi riwaya qala it'amu at'am wa tibul kalam. O kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To make his ummah understand the importance of akhlaq and character, to make the ummah understand the importance of fulfilling the rights of others, he said the birr of hajj is good akhlaq and character. One riwayat he said it is to feed the people, to be generous with people, to make salam with people, to speak kindly, to speak softly to people. Once Sahaba returned from one journey, they said, Ya Rasulullah, ma ra'ayna mithla funanin qattu. O Nabi of Allah, we never saw a Saati like this. Whenever we stopped, straight away he was in Salah. In the night he was in Ibadat. The day he was fasting. Ya Rasulullah, pious person like this we never saw. What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Man kana yakfihi dhi'atahu. Man kana ya'lifu dabbatahu. What did he ask them? He said he was all the time in ibadat. Who saw to his needs? Who fed his animal? Who put up his tent? Who packed away his things? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, he was in ibadat. We saw to that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kullukum khayrum minhu. All of you in Allah's eyes were better than him. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, many of the Salaf Salihin, Ibrahim bin Adham, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, if you read their lives, we will find that when people used to approach them, that we want to accompany you on Hajj, this would be a condition by which they could accompany them, that you must allow me to make your khidmat, you must allow me to serve you on this journey of Hajj. Why? Because Hajj Mabrur is that Hajj where akhlaq, character is displayed. Nowadays we go, listen, the bedding wasn't right, the mattress wasn't right, I supposed to have two pillows, only gave me one pillow. One person wants the air conditioner on, the other one wants it off. Arguments about the type of food didn't come on time, came on time. The whole attention and focus is everywhere else but where it was supposed to be. This is a journey where the shock has to be in us. How can I serve others? How can I be a source of help to others? How can I exhibit kindness to others? This journey we are supposed to be developing our akhlaq and character. Unfortunately, our attention is taken everywhere else. And what is even more dangerous is the amount of time that is spent in layani, the amount of time that is spent in ghibat, in picking on people, hurting the feelings of others. My respected brothers, understand, there's no time to go into details. Understand it like this, is like you have a bucket with a hole. If that bucket has a hole, you can carry on filling water from now till Qiyamah, there will be no water in that bucket. If we are going to proceed for Hajj and make ghibat of people and hurt the feelings of others and talk bad about people and be a source of difficulty to people, then all the ibadat possible we can make, that ibadat is not going to be a source of benefit to us. These are things which will destroy our amal. That is why in the khutbah of Hajjatul Wada, in the farewell sermon of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned his ummah about muhaqqirat al-dhunub. He warned his ummah about those small things which you don't even regard to be guna and sins. He said, this is that avenue by which shaitan will come and destroy your amal. So we have to be very, very careful in this regard. Coming back to that incident of Malik bin Dinar, he says, after that point when the people recited the labbaik, I didn't see this youngster. Finally, I only saw him on the day of Mina. People were making kurmani. On the plains of Mina, I saw this youngster standing on one side. I went to him. He says, I heard him making dua. Allahumma inna an-nas qad dhabahu wa taqarrabu ilayk. That, oh Allah, the people have made qurbani. The people have made ibadat. They have acquired your closeness and your nearness. Wa laysa li shay'un ataqarrabuhu biha ilayka siwa nafsi. He says, Ya Allah, I don't have anything. I don't even have a qurbani animal to sacrifice for you. All I have is my own nafs, my own soul, my own life. فَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي Oh Allah, accept my life from me. Malik bin Dinar says, he said this and passed away on the spot. In the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Arafat, one sahabi passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him ghusl. Make him wear the same ihram cloth as his kafan. Tomorrow on the day of judgment, he will wake up from his qabr reciting the labbaik. That virtue and that distinction Allah Ta'ala gave this youngster. This was when the reality of Hajj was there. We have to bring simplicity in our Hajj. Sahaba say, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the morning of Mina proceeding for Arafat. He says he was sitting on a camel. The saddle of his camel was not even worth 4 dirhams. He said it was rahlun rathin. It was shabby, it was tattered and torn. And he says, describes the kayfiyat and the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was proceeding to Arafat. He says, I saw him hunched over on his camel, lowering himself with humility, and on his lips were the words, Allahumma ja'alha hajjatan mabruratan mutaqabbalatan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, make it hajj maqbool. Ya Allah, make it hajj mabrur, in which there is no riya and no showing off to any other person. Who is saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When this was his fikr, when this was his jazbah and his zeal. Once Harun Rashid, Khalifa, ruler of 3 continents, he was proceeding for Hajj. Bahlul rahmatullahi alayhi was on the roadside, pious person. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he calls him. Harun Rashid removes the curtain from his kafla, from his caravan. Bahlul, what is it? He says, it has been reliably reported to me that my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he proceeded for Hajj, he adopted absolute simplicity. There was no shouting. There was no telling people to move out of the way. Oh Harun, I give you advice as a brother. Amirul Mu'mineen, I give you advice as a brother. Adopt simplicity rather than pride and arrogance. Iqtidan bi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why everywhere else show your shan and shokat. Everywhere else in the world it will count for how much you earn or how much you own. People might recognize you about that, but when it comes to Hajj and when it comes to those 5 days, whether you are a king or a pauper, whether you are a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, or illiterate, Allah Ta'ala wants every one of you in the same cloth. Allah Ta'ala wants every one of you in the same disheveled state. Why? Because you have come to search for your Allah. Leave behind that attachment and love of dunya. Harun Rashid, when he hears this, those people of that time were not like the people of today. They would take nasihat to heart. He starts crying till his tears fall on the ground. Then he says, Bahlul, you have done well. You have given me good nasihat and advice. Give me more. Bahlul says to him, Hab, annaka qad malakta al-arda tarra. Wa anna laka al-ibada fakana madha. Alaysa ghadan masiruka jawfa qabrin. Wa yahthu al-turaba hadha thumma hadha. He says, O Harun, assume that you were the owner of the whole world and all these people around you were your slaves carrying out your dictates and your commands. Never mind how wealthy you may be, is not tomorrow your eventual abode, the hole and the pit of the qabr? And will not these same people fling sand on you? When he hears this, He cries even more. And then he says to Bahlul, let me give you a gift. What is the response? He says, the money you want to give me, return it back to the person you took it from. So he says, okay, is there any debt of yours that I can settle? Bahlul says, that one debt cannot be used to pay another debt. You sort your own debts out. Return back the money of the masses from whom you took it. Then he says, Bahlul, let me give you a monthly allowance. He says to him, O Harun Rashid, you and I are both from the family of Allah. You and I are both the slaves of Allah. It is impossible to me that my Allah will remember you and he'll forget me. I don't need your allowance. Hearing this, he drops his curtain and he continues on his journey of Hajj. This was that istighnayat, that dependence, that reliance on Allah. So in this journey, my respected brothers, we have to make mashk of this. Learn to turn to Allah, ask our needs from Allah. Blaming the agent and blaming this and blaming that and blaming everything else. Understand halat and conditions are from Allah. And these tests and trials and tribulations are put there for our Islam. For us to turn to Allah, to devote our needs towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can't learn this in Makkah, if we can't bring this quality of dua in our lives in Makkah and in Hajj, then when are we going to do it? So make this azam and this irada that in this entire journey, those who are proceeding, I will not ask a single need from anyone else but Allah. Su'al min Allah, to turn to Allah, to ask from Allah, to rely on Allah, to be dependent on Allah. Walillah, this whole journey is for Allah. We are going to search for our Allah. And very, very important, my respected brothers, the crux of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the mafhum of it is that as Qiyamah will come closer, the haqiqat and the reality of the amal of deen will come out of the lives of the ummah. The amal will be taking place, the reality and the haqiqat will not be there. This Hajj is not something that refers to only the Hajis. From the first of Shawwal starts Ayyam-e Hajj for the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This exercise and journey of Hajj carries certain important sabak and lessons that are relevant to the entire Ummah. That is why first 10 days of Zilhijjah, for the whole ummah, not only for the hajis, the reward of those 10 days are increased. Why? So that the whole ummah universally makes munasabat and mushabahat and imitates the hujjaj of Baytullah. Because in reality, our whole life in this world is the journey of Hajj. Every one of us has already donned the ihram. What ihram? The ihram from Allah's masiyat. The ihram from Allah's disobedience. The ihram from attachment of things besides Allah. And our goal, like the Haji's goal, is Arafat, which is Allah's Darbar-e-Khas. Our goal is the Maidan-e-Hashr, wherein we will meet our Allah. Like the poet says, ilayka qasdi, rabbal bayti wal hijri, fa anta suwali min hajji wa min umri. وفيك سعي وتطوافي ومزدلفي والهدي نفسي الذي يغني عن الجزري. This journey, the physical journey of Hajj, is not maqsood. سير القلوب أبلغ من سير الأدان. The journey of the heart is more important than the journey of the physical body. كم من وَاصِلٍ بِبَدَنِهِ إِلَى الْبَيْتِ وَقَلْبُهُ مُنْقَطِعٌ عَنْ رَبِّ الْبَيْتِ وَكَمْ مِنْ قَائِدٍ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَقَلْبُهُ مُتَّصِلٌ بِالْمَحَلِّ الْأَعْلَى. How many people they are physically, bodily, they have gone to Baytullah. They are holding on to the ghilaf of the Kaaba, but their hearts are disattached from Allah. Their hearts are disattached from the Rabb of Baytullah. And how many people they are sitting on their beds at home, but for one second even their heart is not ghafil of Allah. Ilayka qasdi, like the poet says, Ya Allah, the Hajj is not the goal. The Sa'i is not the goal. The Tawaf is not the goal. Muzdalifah is not the goal. Arafat is not the goal also. Ya Allah, you are the goal. Ya Allah, I've come to search for you. For my heart to be attached to you. For my heart to be filled with your love. Walhadyu nafsi alladhi yughni anil jazari. And the qurbani animal also is not the qurbani animal. It is my own nafs. And to slaughter this nafs, no knife is required. There are haqqaiq of Hajj which are relevant to the entire ummah. Ulama say in briefly, time is very limited, three haqiqat, three realities, which everyone every year is reminded about. The first haqiqat is the sabak of the 9th of Zilhijjah, the day of Arafat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Hajju Arafa. Hajj is Arafat. What is the sabak of Arafat? If you want to know that, we have to go back to the first two hajis. Abul Bashar, the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. The first two hajis, their tawbah was accepted in Arafat. So they say the first sabak and haqiqat of Hajj is tawbah. Sincere tawbah. And what is tawbah? Tawbah is not, Ya Allah, forgive me. Tawbah is to change our lives. Tawbah is to leave behind those wrongs we were doing before. In fact, the sign of the acceptance of Hajj is if our life changes. They say the 10th of Zilhijjah, what is the sabak? That is that day when every ummati throughout the entire world, whether he is in Mina or wherever he is in the globe, he is reminded of that supreme sacrifice where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam took the knife in his hand. 90 year old father who for more than 80 years made dua, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, Ya Allah, give me this child. Allah finally gives him that child, 6 or 7 years old. No time to go into the detail. He takes the knife and passes it over the neck of that same child. The whole ummah is reminded of the sabak. What sabak? That we have to pass the knife over our jazbat, our haram desires. We have to pass the knife over those things which are distancing us from Allah. We have to pass the knife over those haram things which have become common in our lives. And we have to come back to our Allah. That hum, Rab chahi zindagi guzarne wale hai. We are those who are going to live a life of what Allah wants, not what our nafs wants. And the sabak of the 11th of Zilhijjah. And this, unfortunately, my respected brothers, to a very, very large extent, the ummah has become ghafil. At least the first two, to some extent, muzakara takes place. But the 11th of Zilhijjah, the hajis will be standing on the plains of Mina. And not for one second, illa mashallah, not for one second, will the heart and the mind, will the clock of the heart and the mind go back 1400 years to the Mina of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His Hajj was not only Hajjatul Wada. When Nubuwat started, the gust of Mina started. Read the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Really, my respected brothers, we cannot lament sufficiently if we start from one side by, tell me, that soccer team or that cricket team, what's the name of the players? Or who won the Champion League or who won this league or that league? What percentage will answer? Then start from one side of the masjid by, it is Ayyam-e Hajj. It is the days of Hajj. You proclaim to have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me about the journey of Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When did my Nabi proceed for Hajj? How many days was his journey of Hajj? What stops did he make on that journey? What did he do in Mina and Arafat? What was the crying? What was the jazba? What was the pain? What was the zeal in his heart? What was his Arafat? 5 hours, April. The month of April, 5 hours. Sometimes with his hand above his head, sometimes head height, sometimes shoulder height. In that burning heat, 5 hours of dua. Dua for who? Dua for his ummah. Crying and beseeching to such an extent. He didn't even eat. Sahaba started asking amongst themselves, is the Rasul of Allah fasting? Finally, Umme Salma radiallahu anha presented some milk to him which he sipped from. Then they came to know that he was not fasting. He did nothing else. Dua, 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 crying for this ummah. Allahumma innaka qadirun ala an tuthiba hadha al-madhloom wa taghfir li hadha al-zalim. And for who was he crying? Look at this dua. He said he was crying for the zalim of his ummah. Ya Allah, even the mazloom of my ummah, the one who is oppressed, you pay him back from your treasures and forgive the zalim also. Crying and begging Allah. How much has the ummah identified with that? Cry tears of blood. Cry tears of blood. When you go for gush to the homes of the ummah today and you sit in the person's sitting room, he's got the shaitan box in front. Above the shaitan box is the plaque, the frame. On it is written, farewell sermon of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Over that shaitan box, we have reduced and maligned and ridiculed his qurbani and his sacrifice. What have we understood of his hajj? What have we understood of that cry and that pain? What was his jazba when he delivered that sermon? What was the cry in his heart? Hajj didn't start with Hajjatul Wada. When Nubuwat started, the gust of Mina started. Person to person, 10 to 10, may yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. Who is there that will shelter me? Who is there that will become my helper? For what? So that I can make tabligh of this deen. So that I can make tabligh of this deen, convey this message. The pain and the cry for the hidayat of humanity in his heart. 11 years of this gush. And finally, in the 11th year of Nubuwat, 6 people come. After 11 years of gush in Mina, 6 people, Abul Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Abdullah bin Rawaha, As'ad bin Zurara, Kharisa bin Nu'man, and Sa'ad bin Rabi radiallahu anhum. 11 years of gushed in Mina. One person who had not even accepted Islam at that time says, I stood on the mountain and I looked down at this person. Going from tent to tent in Mina, minhum man tafala fi wajhi, minhum man hatha alayhi turab, minhum man sabba ala wajhi. Some of them spat in his face. Some of them picked up sand and flung it at him. They scoffed him, they mocked him, they insulted him. Yet relentlessly he carried on, person to person, person to person. He says, I asked my father, who is this person? My father said, that is Muhammad bin Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is it possible that we can stand on the plain of Mina and even for 1 second not reflect on that qurbani and sacrifice that was given for you and I? Finally, 11 years, 6 people come. Next year, 12 people came. 13th year, 72 people came. Amongst whom were 2 women, Umme Mani and Umme Ammara radiallahu anhunna. They take an oath of allegiance on his hand in Mina. What oath of allegiance? The crux of what bayat they took, that even if our people of Medina are slaughtered, and the streets of Medina flow with their blood, our wealth is finished, we are rendered paupers, and we give our last gasp of life, then too we will not forsake this mission and this da'wat which you are inviting us towards. To that extent, To that extent they gave themselves over. That one of those six people, Sa'd bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Uhud, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Zayd bin Haritha, look for Sa'd bin Rabi and tell him I am asking what is his condition. Zayd bin Haritha says, I came to Sa'd bin Rabi, wafihi ramak, he was in the last gasp of life. I said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent me to ask me what is your condition. He said, tell my Nabi, ajiduni ajiduri hal jannah. Tell my Nabi that right now I can smell the fragrance of Jannat. May Allah reward him more than Allah has rewarded any Nabi. And then referring to the commitment of Mina, in his last gasp of life, what does he say? He says, Zayd, tell my brothers of the Ansar. Tell my brothers of the Ansar, la udhra lakum in khulisa ila nabiyikum wa fikum aynun tatruf. Tell my brothers of the Ansar, that if one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is harmed and you are still standing tomorrow on the court of Allah, I am going to hold you responsible. That jazba and zeal, 23 years of qurbani and sacrifice, culminates in Hajj, 11th of Zilhijjah. Surah of the Quran is revealed, Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal fath, in which Allah informs him that Al-Wida has come. The time for you to leave is very, very close. He pelts the Jamarat. On the 9th of Zilhijjah, he delivers the khutbah. Same khutbah he delivers on the 11th of Zilhijjah. Two differences. 9th of Zilhijjah, Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala was repeating his words. On the 11th of Zilhijjah, the uncle of Abu Yazid, Raqashi radiallahu anhu, standing holding the rein of his camel, Adba. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu standing at the flank of the camel. No interpreter this time. Miraculously, such is the jazba, such is the pain in his heart. Sahaba say his voice resounded throughout Mina. Second difference, 9th of Zilhijjah, he did not begin his khutbah with the words, Asa Allah talqani ba'da ami hada. Oh my Sahaba, perhaps after this year you will see me no more. Why? Because it was on the 11th that the surah was revealed. Allah had informed him, now your al-wida. He delivers the same khutbah that he delivered on the 9th, at the end of which that cry and that pain in his heart, I am going. What about my ummat? Hal ballagt? Oh my Sahaba, have I conveyed? Have I made tabligh of this deen? No other tenet of deen, not salah, not zakat, not fasting, not hajj, did he ask this question, have I fulfilled the haqq of it? Only tabligh. That which the ummat today has maligned and ridiculed and reduced to the work of one jamaat and one group and one organization. MashaAllah, very good work. Carry on. My du'as are with you. Bye. Don't you realize the Mina of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Don't you realize his Arafat? Don't you realize what his cry and his pain was? What are the hajis of today returning with? What are the hajis of today returning with? What we return with, we only know as that plane is about to land in Joburg, already fikr for customs. The bags full with things which assist us to do haram from Baytullah, from Makkah and Medina. What we say, we bought those things to buy hadiya because of the barakat of Makkah and Medina. By little do we realize those things are not made there, they are exported, made elsewhere by people whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina. And we say the sand of Makkah and Medina made it by barakat. Our elders say, if you wanted the barakat of that place, bring the sand of that place. Hal balagt, oh my Sahaba, have I conveyed with one voice like a kaleidoscope that 23 years of tireless qurbani, that 23 years of tireless hunger, difficulty, hardship, his own family members slaughtered was in front of them. With one voice they say, بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةَ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةَ وَجَاهَدْتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Ya Rasulullah, you have fulfilled the haqq of tabligh. Allahumma ashhad. Allahumma ashhad. Allahumma ashhad. Ya Allah, you be witness. And then, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبِ. In Mina, he hands this responsibility of tabligh and the fikr of his deen onto his entire ummah. Sahaba understood this. They returned from there with the jazba and the zeal for hidayat. Ulama say if the majma of the hajj of just 1 year, that 2 or 2.5 million people of just 1 year have to identify with that same jazba and zeal with which Sahaba left from Hajjatul Wada, that is sufficient for the hidayat of the entire humanity. But unfortunately, my respected brothers, to a large extent, this has come out of the ummah. That is what our elders say. Bulgar, yebi bulgar, kam bulgar. We forgot. So not only the hajis, but the entire ummah, the haqaiq of hajj, the ninth of tawbah, the tenth of placing the knife on our nafs and our jazbat, and the 11th, the dawat and tabligh is our responsibility. Those who are proceeding, Allah accept your hajj. Remember us in your du'as. And very, very important, try and spend our time correctly. Make dua, Allah accept us also. Accept the entire ummah also. And return back with the jazba and zeal. Those who are not proceeding, the tamanna is there in the heart. Let us make ourselves imitate those who have proceeded for hajj. Don the ihram of staying away from Allah's disobedience. Spend our time in the masjid and in the amal of the masjid and identify with the jazma and zeal of the qurbani of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his hajj. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.